Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current events in the life of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. I received a YouTube comment last week that read, "That's what we need to see, a lot of Scripture in a message." And that really warmed my heart because that's my goal, to disciple people in the Word of God, because in the end, that's all that really matters. Yes, I discuss here political news stories, but only to direct us to God's truth on the matter, that we would hear from God, not ABC or CBS or NBC or CNN or MSNBC and all that other alphabet soup. Well, for this week, I would like to talk about the recent onslaught of censorship against conservatives. Most of my listeners keep up with the news, but for those who have been out of the country or have been living in a cave for the last 2 months, you should know that thousands of conservative voices have been banned from Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. These social media giants have collaborated together to remove any content that doesn't follow certain leftist views. We are now entering into George Orwell's 1984, where the Ministry of Truth removes from print or the airways anything that is contrary to the desires of Big Brother, anything that speaks about those old values of freedom, liberty, and morality. Now, these social media companies have been doing this sporadically for some time, but now there is massive deplatforming. There are a number of sites that list all of those who have been banned, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Kayleigh McEnany, Tucker Carlson, Michelle Malkin, and thousands of others. I mean, even the President of the United States has had his Twitter account removed. And along with all of this individual censorship, whole news outlets have had their social media accounts shut down. Gateway Pundit, Epic Times, LifeSite News, Project Veritas, The Washington Examiner, Red State, and thousands of other sites. YouTube has even taken down one of my YouTubes, and I'm sure there's more to come. And that really shocked me because I'm small potatoes. I thought I could go under the radar for a little while longer because I only have 1,100 subscribers. And I'm in the category of religious. And freedom of religion has special privileges according to Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. A company can't discriminate against someone on the basis of race, color, national origin, sex, age, or religion. But that doesn't matter anymore. If your religion voices anything that opposes leftist ideology, you'll be censored. And good luck trying to take it to court. Even Focus on the Family was banned from Twitter because Focus mentioned that Joe Biden picked Dr. Rachel Levine, a transgender man, to be the assistant U.S. health secretary. And Focus explained that a transgender man is a man who believes he's a woman. And for Twitter, that was hate speech. Because you can't say he believes he's a woman. You have to say he is a woman. That's how bad it's become. Now, given the moral direction of America, we knew that this was going to happen someday, but the day has finally arrived. I mean, we knew that constitutional freedoms cannot exist very long once a nation loses its Christian culture. Because secular atheistic humanism is antithetical to First Amendment human rights. You cannot build human rights upon secularism. As James Adams wrote, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate to the government of any other." So with the abandonment of God and God's moral law, which is the foundation for all liberty, liberty goes out the window, and also the Constitution. Now, even though we knew this was coming, it is still a shock and a disappointment to see it actually happen. Kind of reminds me of what the Apostle Paul wrote to the new Christians at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, "So that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. And so it came to pass, just as you know." Paul said, "I told you so." And Jesus said, that we will be hated, ostracized, insulted, and our name scorned as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Luke 6:22. And yet, even when it happens, it's still a surprise. It's one thing to be told there will be persecution. It's a whole other thing when you actually experience it. I just can't even count how many times I've experienced something and found myself saying, oh, this is what the Bible means when it says such and such. You know, often we just can't believe it or understand it until we experience it. And this is what the Bible has told us, that there will be these persecutions. In fact, do we realize that the Bible is all about the wicked censoring the righteous? What do you think the murder of Abel by Cain was all about? Cain was censoring Abel. The prophets in the Old Testament were mocked, scourged, imprisoned, and stoned to death. They lived in poverty. Hebrews chapter 11. Why? Because they happened to be victims of random acts of violence? No, because the unsaved was out to silence their message. Censorship. Romans chapter 5, the world is at enmity with God. John chapter 3, men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds are evil, neither do they come to the light, lest their deeds should be exposed. And when evil men are empowered, they will snuff out the light. And remember Romans chapter 1. Ungodly, unrighteous men work to suppress the truth. Now, some prime examples of censorship in the Bible. When King Jehoshaphat wanted to hear from a prophet of the Lord, King Ahab said, yeah, there's one man, but I never call upon him because I hate him, because he says what I don't want to hear. Well, that's censorship. And then there was Jezebel killing all the prophets of the Lord. And Obadiah hiding 100 prophets of the Lord. 1 Kings 18. Then there's the example of Jeremiah, a prophet who lived in times that mirror our own day. When Jeremiah brought the word of the Lord to the king ripped it up with a penknife and threw it into the fireplace. God then told Jeremiah to rewrite the word on a scroll and pronounce a curse upon the king for censoring God's truth. Then later, the leadership accused Jeremiah's words of being hate speech, of being unpatriotic, and so Jeremiah was hung in a pit to die. More censorship. And we can go on and talk about this, but the ultimate censorship is the crucifixion of Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ would have been no threat if he said nothing, but it was his teaching that put him on the cross. The leadership in Israel hated Jesus, and it hated his message because it was against them. It condemned their sinful behavior, so they concocted a justification for censoring Jesus, saying that he was a threat to the safety of the nation. John chapter 11, verse 48. The Sanhedrin said, if we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. They claimed that Jesus would start an uprising, that his truth would lead to violence. Does that sound familiar? It's happening today. And so the Sanhedrin plotted to eliminate Jesus. And if they put Jesus on the cross, what do you think they're going to do to you and me? Matthew chapter 10, verse 25. It is enough for the disciple that he becomes like his teacher and the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the household Beelzebub, how much more will they malign the members of his household? So over the last month, there has been an explosion of conservative articles and editorials about censorship. Every pundit and every show is talking about media censorship. But as usual, since most of this is secular conservatism, most of the commentary is shallow. They only explain what's happening and how this is un-American, but it lacks that deeper biblical explanation, which I think we need to look into. Now, there's just so much to share in regard to censorship. It's hard to know where to begin. So what I would like to do is simply list 10 or so theological moral points about censorship. I'll see how far I can get in this radio program and then leave the remainder for my YouTube program, or rather my soon-to-be Rumble program. Again, this whole subject of censorship is huge, but we should at least be aware of the points that I'm about to list here. First, as I already mentioned, the Bible is all about the wicked censoring the righteous. From Genesis to Revelation, and Satan's battle against God is to censor or eliminate God. A second point. This censorship doesn't seem to be affecting most people right now. It seems like a paper tiger. This second point is not a big point in this whole thing, but it's something to consider. If you don't keep up with the news much, if you don't have any presence in social media, if you just go about your daily routine, as far as you're concerned, nothing has really changed. The sun still comes up in the morning. The birds are still singing. And I talk to many Christians who tell me that they have stopped watching news altogether. They just go about their work. They raise their children. They witness to their neighbors. And they're done with it. And, you know, some people may think that that attitude is putting your head in the sand. But there is some positive things that could be said about it. These social media giants think that they have more power than they actually have. They're living in the fantasy, believing that they can control what people think and say. But they can't control you if you don't play their game, if you're not on their platforms, if you don't give them so much power. You know, even like the Roman Empire thought it could stop Christianity with its censorships and persecutions. Every time Rome tried to shut down Christianity, it was like pouring gasoline on a fire. Media and government censorship awake the church. It always backfires on the ungodly. Trying to censor truth is like trying to hold back a bulldozer. You can't do it, and if you try, you're going to get crushed in the process. However, even though the ungodly can't ultimately control us, and even though we have other venues, they're coming for you. Even if you don't have a media platform. Remember the words of that German pastor, Martin Niemöller, which was all about cowardice and thinking how these things would not affect you? You know, first they came for the socialists, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I didn't speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. If you want some scripture on this, the words of Jesus on the way to the cross, while on the road to Golgotha, Jesus turned to the women lining the streets and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, stop weeping for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For if they do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it's dry?" What an unusual thing for Jesus to say at such a time. But what he was saying is this: you think they're only going to do this to me? They're coming for you. If they throw a righteous man, a green branch in the fire, what do you think the Romans will do with the rest of the Jews? No matter how much we think we can stay out of the limelight, we're not going to be able to avoid the persecution that's coming. And this censorship is only the beginning. Point number three. Leftist censorship is Christian apostasy. As a Christian philosopher, Francis Schaeffer, said that liberalism is Christian apostasy. In other words, it has to borrow truth from Christianity in order to survive, but that truth is twisted and misapplied. I mean, even Satan has to borrow from God the concept of right and wrong to argue his case against God. And the point is that censorship is religious in nature, but it's a false religion. So think about this. These leftists are preaching about the moral rightness and wrongness of certain speech. And yet, they are secular materialists. If the world was created by one big accident, and everyone is simply a compilation of chemical reactions, and this idea of personhood is an illusion created by chemical reactions, then you and I are no more alive than our laptop. So, in secular humanism, there's logically no right or wrong in the universe, nothing matters, your opinions are irrelevant and meaningless, and you're going to die very soon. So why do you even care very much about what other people say? How can you even make any moral judgments? How can you logically punish anyone for wrong speech? And how can you be preaching truth is relative and then turn around and tell someone that their speech is wrong? especially since the left for the last 40 years has been opposing moral judgments and censorship, saying that everyone should do their own thing. The left, evil, is stealing the concept of right and wrong from the right, even when they don't believe in morality or a moral lawgiver. So, isn't this amazing how the left is now on a moral crusade to punish immoral speech? They are now the book burners, not the Roman Catholic Church. They are now conducting the Salem witch trials rather than the New England legalists. So if you ever get into a debate with a leftist on this, ask the question, says who? What is your authority? How do you know you're right? And why are you being so religious? Now, of course, we understand what's really going on. Mankind is making himself to be God. So in that, people believe their desires and their wishes are authoritative. They do believe in a moral lawgiver, and it's man himself. But the argument against this is so obvious. Man is not God. Man is fallible. And if man is God, then what do we do when men differ in their opinions? Then you just have the gods fighting each other. And then the one who wins is right, because then might makes right. Well, anyway, evil is always illogical. And, you know, this censorship is not about morality. It's about personal deification. Point number four. Free speech is not absolute. Christians recognize this. Some censorship is actually valid. Pornography should be censored. Pedophilia should be censored. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. Don't be led astray by the libertarian free speech arguments that the solution to everything is to let everyone say whatever they want to say and everything's going to be well. That's not the Christian position. And if you hold to the libertarian free speech argument, you'll be backed into a corner and lose. Christians believe in censorship, but that doesn't mean all censorship is right. Like everything else, there is a righteous censorship and there is an unrighteous censorship. The state, the government was not wrong 50 years ago when it censored transgenders and homosexuals. We don't need to apologize for that. And it's not as if our censorship in those things is now coming back to haunt us. As some are saying now that we should not have censored any of those things years ago so that the left cannot justify its current censorship. Now, the Christian response is this. God says, righteousness ought not to be censored. Evil needs to be censored. And if you can't tell the difference, that is your own sinful, fallen lack of discernment. The difference is easily discerned. It's perfectly valid for evil immorality to be censored by private citizens and even the government. Romans chapter 13, the state is to be an avenger against those who do evil, but it is not valid for righteousness to be censored. But of course, now that the left is calling good evil and evil good, Isaiah 5:20, they are now defining evil as good and censoring the good. But the problem is not the censorship. The problem is the object of the censorship. Even God censors evil and tells Christians to censor evil. So I guess what I really want to say in this point is it's not the concept of censorship that's the problem. It's the problem of what is being censored. So don't just argue against censorship, because rightly done, censorship is necessary if any society is to survive. If your argument is that there should never be censorship, you're cutting off the tree branch which you're sitting on. Because we're arguing that the censors should not censor, so we're saying they should be censored. Did you get all that? Point number five. The current censorship is being justified on the pretext of preventing violence and saving democracy. You know, after some of the people at the Trump rally broke into the Capitol building on January the 6th, this has become the excuse used by social media for why conservatives need to be thrown off of Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, because their speech apparently is going to incite violence, especially any content that calls into question the legitimacy of the 2020 election. So how convenient is this for the left that they can now shut down any opposition to their man for president on the basis of public safety. So now, conservatives who question the election are being called domestic terrorists. So that all of the resources and money used to fight foreign terrorists can now be used to track down and silence the political opponents of the Democratic Party. And this is being called the Reichstag fire, because it's the Reichstag fire all over again. In February of 1933, the German Capitol building was set on fire by some unknown persons. It may have been communists. But Hitler then used that event to remove civil liberties from the German people, to arrest all of his opposition, and to create a one-party totalitarian government. He needed a justification, a lie. It wasn't a very good one, but anything will do. And we see throughout history that the justification for totalitarianism is often public safety. Democracy always invites more dangers because people are free. Totalitarianism always promises safety. But in the end, we all know that totalitarianism is more dangerous. And the minor problems that arise with democracy are really nothing. Power consolidated is more dangerous than power distributed. Main example, the Tower of Babel. So the point is that evil censorship is always justified on the basis of some pretext. Point number six, evil censorship is the default condition once evil is empowered. Because even with the January 6th break-in, the real reason the social media companies went into high gear censoring conservatives is the fact that now with the Biden administration, they can get away with it. Leftists always wanted to censor, but they could not and would not do so until the fear of consequences was removed. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. No punishment, no consequences, and evil comes out of the woodwork. When we lose our First Amendment rights, when the state no longer defends our First Amendment rights, it will be open season on Christians, because it's in the heart of man to persecute Christ and his people. He does not do so out of goodness, but out of fear of punishment. Such was Kristallnacht, 1938, the night of the broken glass, when the Nazis and the German people attacked the synagogues and the homes of Jews, and the next day 30,000 Jews were taken to concentration camps. It just seemed to happen immediately out of nowhere. But it happened because evil people had the sanction of government to do it. So also with this free speech issue. As soon as the government is leftist and doesn't support First Amendment rights, no matter what the Constitution says, our right to free speech is history. Well, my time is up. I still have a number of other points to make here about free speech. I mean, I haven't even gotten into the deeper whys and wherefores. I'll just add that all to my YouTube video version of this program at God and Country Biblical Exposition on YouTube. Let's hope they don't find it and take it down. And again, I hope to be announcing a Rumble channel soon once I can get that account set up and videos uploaded. The website for this program is godandcountryradio.org. Just spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can get all the links to this program and other past programs. From there, you can email me. Thanks for listening today. Thanks for including God and Country. It's one small part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for the freedoms that we have in Christ, for the truth, for the good censorship, and help us to stand fast in the liberty in which Christ has set us free, in whose name we pray. Amen.